The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, Ryan Tubridy with you this Wednesday morning. It is the 11th of March 2020. Text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie. We're here till 10 o'clock and plenty to discuss. No surprises, I suppose. I woke this morning and I looked to the side of my bed to two piles of books. Books that I kind of meant to read and should read and want to read and will read eventually. I thought, okay, if I do have to self-isolate, I'm going to get through them all, which is kind of... I'm looking at the corona bounce. What are the upsides of this? And we'll find a few of them. Obviously, there are many, many downsides. But if it's here, how can we put a sheen or a gloss on it that gets us all through it? And I thought, well, we can do that probably. And then we can put a special microphone into my kitchen and we could broadcast from the radio show from there. No problem at all. I mean, that's easy as pie. So that the show goes on, is what I'm saying, in that regard. Late, it's another story, but we'll get there eventually. And ultimately then, food drops from family and friends. They just leave them there at the door. Don't come through it. I'll be looking at them and go, thank you so much. I appreciate it. You're very kind. No, are there any nuts in that coffee cake? So it'll be lovely to be able to have them. And then they'll scamper off going, your man's got the thing. And then I'll reach my hand, I'll get my stuff and close the door and then continue the broadcast to you guys from my kitchen. Okay, so everything is doable. And that's not to understate the seriousness of it for those who will be in trouble and who are going to get into trouble. And that's where we become we talk about the world's gotten very global. That's when the island becomes a village where we have to mind each other hugely. This sense of community will never be more important than ever before. We're going to touch on it a bit this morning because a lot of you have been getting in touch to say in a really good way, and this isn't trying to be Pollyanna, by the way. We totally realise the gravity of this situation. But a lot of you have been in touch to say, we've seen nice things happening. And a lot of you have been in touch to say, we want to make sure. Where's that? There's a lovely email from, or at least a tweet from somebody talking about how they want to make sure that the neighbours are okay and that the older people. Here it is, yeah, from Elaine Nocton. It's in these uncertain times with shelves emptying and supermarkets, faith in humanity restored. This just received from neighbours doing the rounds of the estate. So this was one microcosm of what's happening in one estate, in one place in Ireland this week. And it's a little WhatsApp group to help each other out. It says, are you interested in providing and receiving support and help from your neighbours if any of you catch the virus? For example, if you're self-isolating and need groceries or medication or fuel or anything else brought to your house, you can contact this group for support and help. To join us, send a text message and with the heading COVID-19, your name, address, no mobile phone number. So in other words, somebody smart and kind and thoughtful and prescient has got ahead of the curve and said, in the event of anyone, and particularly the vulnerable, those with underlying illness, as they call it, and the elderly, who need to be especially minded at this time, this is the way forward. Because if most of us catch this thing, we're going to be fine. It's going to be like just an unpleasant cold flu, if you like. But there are those who won't be as well, and they need to be minded. So that's where we all have to step up. We can't just be looking around going, who's going to help us? We have to help each other as well. And there's a bit of that about it. I'm glad to see that, there's nothing like a crisis to focus the minds, and even the fact that the government formation talks have taken a total swerve into actually having to do something about it fast. Somebody talks about a zombie government. You can't have them stalking the land. Of course, they're not zombies. They're doing their very best to keep us posted, but it's not a government as strong as you would wish to have under the circumstances. So hopefully, as I say, minds focus, they get busy and we get on with it, which would be very, very helpful indeed. And we are looking at a situation. I mean, I think Simon Harris, to his credit, has not beaten around the bush in calling it as it is. And also the Taoiseach's terrifying press conference, it was nothing short of it the other day, telling us about the worst case scenarios. It puts us manners on us all in terms of the hand washing, the distance, the importance of it all. So if the schools are going to be closed, and it's probably likely that's going to happen at some point soon, what do you do? And 2 weeks in isolation. I mean, if you're like me, if you're kind of giddy, 2 days in isolation at home, about crawling the wall. So 2 weeks with a full house of children and family and all of it. It's going to be a big ask, but as long as we all survive and come out the other side, it's going to be fine. So what do we do? Well, we're going to help you with that on the Late Late Show on Friday. We have a very, very big opening piece planned, which will hopefully guide you through the rigors of such a scenario, because it's very likely. But also, if I had young kids at home at the moment, I'd be going to the attic or the corner of the house where all those board games and card games and things that you used to do when you were younger yourself are gathering dust because everyone's on tablets and phones. Take them out, because you're going to need them. You're going to be back together at the kitchen table playing cards, playing snakes and ladder. I know I sound like Dickensian dad here, but these are the things you're going to... It could be Trivial Pursuit and it could be warships or the Game of Life. Get them all out. Start gathering them, because these are the things that are going to get you through. Not looking at each other saying, what are we going to do next? You're going to have to start being creative, and we'll help you with that. And even if I'm in the kitchen at home broadcasting with the thing, we'll still be here. So we'll stick together and get going. I did have to refuse a few handshakes yesterday. I was shopping around the place, and a few heads were coming up to say hello. And I said, look, can I be rude and say no handshakes? Because the doctor told me on Friday night, on the late, told us all. I said, do we shake hands? She said, no. So I can only, you know, it's too important to be polite. So you can do the elbows thing. I heard somebody saying, but we cough into our elbows. No, we don't cough into the elbow bone. You can't. It's physically, try it. It's actually not. We cough into the crook of your arms. So just the elbow thing is fine, or the foot thing is fine, but no handshakes. It's out, lads. Got to stop. You saw the Dutch Prime Minister, God help me, did a press conference the other night to say, everybody, stop shaking hands. And he had the health expert beside him. And the health expert was going, yes, yes, we must stop shaking hands. And the Prime Minister said, excellent, end of press conference. He turned around to the health guy, shook his hand, and said, oh God, sorry, forgot. It's such a human habit. It's against every being in my body to not shake hands with somebody, I must say. And yeah, we got to fight it just for a while. We'll get over this. This is a passing unpleasantness that we'll get. Naomi Campbell, do you remember her? She was ahead of the curve. She had her seat and that went viral. She went viral. That is a whole new context now. But she had her seat and her anti this, anti back, and all that. But she now was seen. There's pictures of her doing the rounds, hopping on a plane from LA to New York in a hazmat suit. She's completely germaphobe. She's got the N95 mask. That's the big one. That's the Bane from Batman mask, and she has the whole lot. She's wearing a full hazmat suit beneath her camel cape. And the mask and pink latex gloves. So she'll be grand when the apocalypse hits. There's a globe-trotting Vietnamese daughter of a steel magnet. Infected steel magnet, of course he is. Infected seven British people who shared a plane with her. And she's been described as a globe-trotting super spreader. That's what she is now, because she's so... And then some people are going back to a 14th century Italian book called the Decameron. I never heard of it. But the Decameron is a book by the Italian Renaissance author Giovanni Boccaccio. And he wrote it in the wake of the plague outbreak in Florence in 1348. And the disease ravaged the city of Florence. It reduced the population by about 60%. And he described how Florentines dropped dead in open streets, both by day and by night, whilst a great many others, though dying in their own houses, drew their neighbours' attention to the fact more by the smell of their rotting corpses. Now, this isn't, by the way, a salutary story. This is just a 14th century tale of plague. But social bonds broke down. This is what we have to avoid. Brothers abandoned brothers, uncles their nephews, sisters their brothers, and fathers and mothers refused to nurse and assist their children. This was bad. Some people retreated into their houses, while others formed groups and staggered. Formed groups and staggered through the city on multi-day benders. So there's an upside to this. I mean, like, you know, if it all goes completely pear-shaped. So the book focuses on 10 friends who leave Florence for a deserted villa in the countryside. Upon arriving in their rural idyll, they spend their days telling and amusing and often racy stories. They had been previously quite puritanical, and then they went, well, if we're going to go, let's have some fun going. And that's what they did. Protecting yourself with stories, apparently, it suggests that you could save yourself by fleeing town, surrounding yourself with pleasant company and telling amusing stories to keep the spirits up. I like the sound of this. Use songs and games, he said. This is the 14th century. said, and games, and other pleasant stories that do not exhaust the body, and all those delightful things that bring comfort. People should be aware of fear and anger and sadness and excessive anguish and heavy thoughts and similar things. And equally, one should take care to be able to be joyful and to be happy and to listen to lullabies and stories and melodies. Nothing wrong with that. Just on the subject of self-isolation, I was saying 2 days might be a bit much for me, but 2 weeks would be longer. 30% of people isolated during the SARS outbreak in Toronto subsequently suffered from depression or post-traumatic stress disorder due to feelings of isolation and stigma. People didn't want the food drop outside the house because people think, God, they're sick. But sharing stories, they're saying, can help to keep dismal feelings at bay. That's, we're no better country for that. The Omniplex Cinema, meanwhile, are you all a bit more reluctant to go to the cinema or not? I wonder, how are you feeling about that? We're doing the Late Late Show on Friday night. We'll have an audience, but it's not what's called the big gathering. I think that's what the worry is, big numbers. We'll have 200. I think once you're heading towards 1,000, you're in trouble, hence no Limerick and so forth. But one of Ireland's largest cinema chains has introduced a range of new measures to help tackle all of this. In-cinema seat separation now take place at screenings, which means that after risk assessment and an analysis of the global cinema market, in-cinema seat separation means that every second seat in the cinema will be unoccupied for all screenings. They're going self-scanning for tickets and more hand sanitizing stations in the foyers, and they're encouraging people to use online bookings, contactless payment. This is the tapping. Tap, 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 tap. I'm telling you, it's tip-tapping all the way. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm mystified as to how Cheltenham got away with going ahead. I cannot get my head around it. I'm not anti-Cheltenham. I'm not anti-horses or racing. But there's a corona case over there. And all these numbers. Now, I heard on one station and another radio station talk about the Churchillian spirit. Did you ever hear such balderdash in all your life? This is the kind of thing that got Brexit over the line. This sense of rule Britannia and carry on, keep calm. This sort of, you know, hearkening back to the days of Empire or even Dunkirk. There's a virus. Dunkirk was a war, different type of war, if you like. But Cheltenham continues. And the papers are gassed this morning because half of them are saying, Cheltenham, 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 it's great, guys, it's the best thing in the whole world, isn't it great, great? And the other half are going, we're all going to die. So it's like Oz and Kansas. You have to try and decide which one you want to be. There's a fingers-in-the-air job about Cheltenham. No doubt about it. Anyway, we'll all know about it when they come home. See you later. What have we got else for you? Oh, yeah. I mentioned this wonderful book, and I nearly finished this morning before I came in, but I had to come to work. But it's just a terrific book, which I've been, The Murder of Dr. Muldoon, based in Leitrim largely, and in the 1920s. So it's just out of War of Independence and into Civil War. So the backdrop is intriguing. The story is fascinating and it's really well written. But poor Orla got in touch to say, you recommended this book, The Murder of Dr. Muldoon. I phoned the local library in Greystones. Waiting list, 126 people. I'd be on the Late Late Show before that. True enough. So I phoned the village bookshop in the main street and none in stock. So they got on to the publishers. Book will be there for me tomorrow. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. You need to read it. It's one of those great, great zippy little history books. And if you're going to be confined, which a lot of us are going to be, put that on your list. Why don't I do a coronavirus book list for people in the next couple of days? I'll go home through the shelves and pick out some classics and some more modern books and see which ones you want. And it depends what you're having yourself. We might do that as well. Marion was on to say, due to the number of things being cancelled due to the coronavirus, I'm very surprised that the Comic-Con is going ahead in the convention centre this weekend. It's expected that 20,000 people will visit over the 2 days. My daughter and all of her teenage friends are planning on going, and I just find it a bit worrying. I don't want to be a baddie and ban her from going. I was kind of hoping that the decision would be taken out of my hands, but it looks like it's still going ahead. Well, I'm surprised to hear that. And I think you'll probably be expecting to hear some news in the next 24 hours. I would be inclined, if I was a papa to a kid heading to that, I think I would understand, Marion, where you're coming from. But they're all going. Why are you banning me from going? That's the line you're going to hear. And it's kind of hard. So yeah, I would be shocked if they didn't make the right decision and disappoint everybody, but for the right reasons. That's the point. I still go to the cinema every day, says the text, as I have a membership with the cinema, but I always sit at the back in the corner away from everyone. So I did that before the virus. I mean, I don't want to sit near anyone. It's not that I'm antisocial. I just love the space and the privacy of being in the cinema on my own. Elizabeth said, don't forget the garden or our elderly neighbour's garden. Let's get our children weeding and sowing seeds and plants in their own garden or next door with the elderly people's lives. And what a pleasure it will give him or her to see the garden blossom. That's a gorgeous idea. Let me suggest bird feeders. I mean, I know that sounds like complete otherworldly, but I have them and it's just the most simple pleasure as you see them arriving and feeding on the seeds and the nuts and so on. Go and get some bird feeder and let the children fill them and watch them, see which birds come. Get a little, you know, Birdwatch Ireland site open or get a little bird book. There's lovely books about birds in your gardens and so on. And introduce them, nature, the world, circle of life. Go full Lion King on them, but at a local level in Ireland. Good to hear of nice gestures during this present health crisis, says Rosemary, but I really wish people would stop and think before stockpiling. It's scary for elderly people and also extremely unfair on people who have limited weekly budgets. There's absolutely no need for this frenzied buying and people need to stop and think of how ridiculous it is and the effect it might have on others. Karma was on, say, you echo my very thoughts. We're all skidding so fast, headlong in a handcart, going somewhere, always in a hurry. It's time to stop. Like the big snowfall, it reminds us to stop. Gather around each other and flee that corporate world that secretly we all dread and nurture ourselves and those around us. Yeah, I called into a good pal of mine yesterday and he's off work for different reasons entirely, but he was telling me that he can work from home and that the amount of people working from home and working successfully, I should say, from home at the moment would suggest that actually the virus is pushing us into a new world order, smaller workplaces. And more focus on people coming from home and so on, and that it took this, a bit like the government formations, it took this to jumpstart it. We were talking about a government formation in May, now we're talking about one by April. So I was thinking about the expression, events, dear boy, events. You never, never, as I say, can tell. It's 9:21. Here's not an ancient song, but it's a good one. God, I haven't heard that for a song. That is a super song. Gene Pitney and Mark Almond take on Something's Gotten Hold of My Heart. What a great tune. In fact, that song, says Michelle, has transported me right back to being about 12 VHS recordings from the beatbox being played over and over and over. Lovely memories. Now, what are you saying to me on text? Well, all Ireland's model makers and digital train nerds and gardeners and artists and musicians are hoping for 2 weeks and more off work. I know. Well, it's a time for creativity. Enforced creativity sometimes, but we'll get there. Catherine says, my husband has just told me that he's going to paint the house if he has to self-isolate, and now I feel bad for feeling just the tiniest inkling of every cloud has a silver lining. Think of the benefits, says another, to our environment due to the grounding of so many planes, and the CO2 levels will fall, and as you say, if we all look out for one another, we'll get through this. Good. Can't wait to see your kitchen on the late. It wouldn't fit four people into my kitchen. It's rather small, but I'll do the radio show from the kitchen. I don't think I could do the late show from the house. But stranger things. Let's not rule anything out. This is the nearest I think I can ever imagine or remember or know this country as being close to a wartime situation, in terms of the seriousness of the gravity, but also of the enforced. A sense of looking out for details. And I mean, has anyone been so slavishly watching the 6:1 news or the 9 o'clock news as much as most of us have recently, going, what's happening? And you want to go to the most, I have to say, the most trustworthy sources. And I, that's why I'm not just saying it because I work here, but I just believe them, my colleagues in the newsroom, because I find them to be exceptionally good. From the outside looking in, says Jerry Plunkett in Toronto / Rohini. I am proud, thank you, Ola. I am proud of the island of Ireland and the actions they have taken to curtail the spread of COVID-19. As a proud Irish Canadian via Rohini, I see great similarities to our country's actions and concerns. Unfortunately, we just had our first death in Northern Ontario as a result of this nasty virus. But stay safe and keep up the great work to help bring the world back to normality. Ireland abroad and proud. Well, if you want to be proud of Ireland, look at the opening credits, which we have rejigged for the Late Show on Friday night. The masterful work of our wonderful director, Alan Byrne, has done something very beautiful, and your heart will swell with pride for Ireland when you see it. The St. Patrick's Day Parade, says Liam in Cork, maybe cancel. But children at home still need their fun. So why don't we all agree to something special at home on the day? If we all decide at midday, say, to have a mini parade in the kitchen or take out all the teddies and march up and down outside your house, play the music loud, sing a song, get up and moving and celebrate. And most importantly, keep a sense of fun for children and ourselves when we can. This could be the tiniest St. Patrick's Day parades in the world. In every little house or big house or apartment or wherever you might be around the country. I like that suggestion. Rory in Kerry says, I thought you might be interested to learn that Paolo Pasolini made a film of the Decameron in 1971. And it was notorious at the time, but is probably quite tame by modern standards. Thanks for that tip. To add to your to-do list, Trey says, while you're doing your COVID-19 reading list for us, would you put together another one of good movies we could watch with the kids? And then maybe history or war movies, and also maybe some history books you'd recommend for school. I found I have my own homework. Let's wait till we're getting closer to the school closures and so on. And then if that happens, then I promise you, I'll do really comprehensive list of movies and books that for different age groups. So if I can, I'll do my best. Bob was on about that wonderful book, The Murder of Dr. Muldoon. To say An Unholy Trinity is the excellent documentary and one that deals with that murder. It can be heard on the player for those who cannot get the book. Well done, and thank you, because I haven't heard that and I want to hear it. Speaking of which, the podcast from RTÉ called The Nobody Zone is one of the best podcasts I've heard since podcasts began. And I'm not saying that just because. I'm saying it because it's just excellent and deserves the credit where it's due. And if you haven't heard it, there's three episodes. I think the fourth one would have dropped yesterday, so I haven't heard the fourth one. It's just so well made, so great, many twists and turns, and it has done something magnificent that no podcast in the United States of America or Britain and Northern Ireland has done, which is it has finally mastered the art that where you only need six podcasts to tell a story, don't give us 12 and dragging the arse out of the thing, because this thing is six episodes and it needs no more. And full kudos and credit to everyone who was involved in putting it together, because they got it right. And it's told beautifully. And you finish every episode wanting more, and full marks. 100% credit to them. It's just really good. It's really, really good. Okay, imagine 2 weeks lockdown, says the text. I'm hoping it'll happen, as even though I'm retired, I'm too busy to do a proper spring clean. And boy, does my house need it. You see, these are the things. There's better things. There's a strange thing, says Dave, about sitting on your own in the cinema, which I love as well. You're in a row on your own, and a guy comes and sits three seats away. He's nowhere near you, and it's not going to impact you, but it really bugs you. Why? Well, maybe it's just me. No, I think we are strange. I think people are strange. I'm strange. Stranger than most, I'd say. But, Dave, you're also strange. So we belong on a bus of strange people. But it's not an unpleasant bus. It's just peculiar. Angela says, if self-isolating, what about jigsaws? They will pass words. They will pass words and are an enjoyable pastime, I suppose, and are an enjoyable pastime and good for the brain. Yeah, I mentioned jigsaws earlier on for that very reason. If people can put on some bright clothes, says Siobhan, if possible, to go out for a walk along the beach or woods or park, just say hello and smile so that people will be happier when they meet them. That could be a nice thing to do. I never thought of that, but why not? Dave and Lockray says the kids are off for 2 weeks during Easter. Anyway, maybe a suggestion to take off the 2 weeks prior to this, to try and slow down the spread of this virus for one full month of lockdown. Well, we'll wait and see what our friends in the HSE who are doing the very best. There's a lot of people working very hard, very long hours. They seem to be on all the time, and my heart goes out to them and their families, because it's not an easy time. But we'll wait to hear what they have to say about all of that. And Moore Street, last of the Cheeky Charlies, last of the Christmas wrapping paper. This is a recording from what you can now expect to hear from Moore Street in Dublin, where the street traders are selling stuff. Check it out.
€3, 2 for a 5 grand face mask.
I mean, this is happening.
€3, 2 for a 5 grand face mask.
I mean, everything's changed. And heaps of texts coming in. We'll get to some of them now, but I see that one from text saying, I returned here 20 years ago and started our own mother and toddler group. We're now a solid bunch of great friends and call our WhatsApp group Thurless Divas, as we're all over 50. If Agnes Brown, a text says, can do her show from her flat, surely the Late Late Show from your kitchen is a runner all around to Ryan's. Can I just tell you, Agnes Brown's flat may well be a studio and Makey Uppy flat. So, no, Dodd, or maybe not. I don't want to disappoint you. Listen to you this morning on your ideas. I read a great book recently called The Sound of Freedom by Anne Murta. This is Anne's first novel for children aged 9 to 12. My next read will be The Hungry Road by Maria Conlon McKenna. Every Wednesday, says the text, from 1 until 3, there's a free cafe in the Church of Incarnation, Fettercairn in Talla, beside St. Anne's School. Everything is free. There's conversation, music, games, books. Everything and everyone is welcome. And everyone spreads positivity and meet your neighbour. Okay, what an amazing lady Yvonne is, says Moira. Maybe other mothers are reluctant to join the community centre groups as it would contradict their perfect social media profile. Yeah, I think that's what I was kind of hinting at in some ways. It doesn't have to be social media. It can just be offline real life as well. Another, as there are no parades for Patrick's Day, would RTÉ show a compilation of the past parades going back to the 60s, like a reeling in the parades? It's a good idea. They'd be up against it to get it together, but I could think of a couple of heads now would be able to do that first, just to put something in place to say everything is possible.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTÉ Radio 1.
Now, you're busy on text today, and what I'm loving is you're very upbeat about everything. I think that's quite good because everyone's a bit freaked and there's no need for it, but it's totally understandable. John in Cork says, if everyone did a mini parade in their own house for the crack and post them on social media, and if someone out there in the corporate world maybe offered a prize for the most entertaining, wouldn't it be delightful? We could all celebrate together without putting anyone in danger. It's a great idea. Meanwhile, Conan rings in and said, after watching the brilliant Boys in Green, RTÉ should reshow all of Ireland's games in each tournament from 88 to 2016 with some modern analysis tacked on. Sport is disappearing, so let's open the cellar and enjoy the good stuff. It's a great way of putting it. Open the cellar and get all the classic wines out. And equally, if the schools are closed down, maybe they could reshow toy shows and take the Christmassy stuff out and just package them up as just brilliant kids talking about toys and nice life lessons in the middle of it all. Helen says, I might get to sort out and print 10 years worth of photographs if I'm self-isolating. That's a great idea. Paul in Whitehall says, I'm used to self... Oh yes, I mentioned that already. The Secret Garden book is a must for the coronavirus reading lust for kids. I'm reading to my three kids at the moment and they're hanging on every twist and turn. I missed the title of the podcast you meant. It's called The Nobody Zone. Wherever you get your podcasts, as they say, that's where you need to go. Completely agree with you about The Nobody Zone, says Stuart. It's like watching a great TV program. I watched when I was small and couldn't wait until next week for the next episode. Yeah, that's really fun. The episodic approach is brilliant. Really well told story. I've attended two funerals in Galway, says the text, in the last few days, and it is expected that you handshake. You can't handshake, lads. It's gone. It's gone. So please just say to somebody, no offence, but it's just not going to happen. The only way this will change, says the text, is if the priest encourages it to stop. And why is it necessary to receive Holy Communion? I think the priests who are on the altars now have absolute health, moral, national responsibility to tell people to stop shaking hands. It's just not acceptable. And this is why we are in a situation where we are with no deaths at the moment, because we're actually following the guidelines for now. So please keep that going on. That's the message. It's very serious. So let's keep going. I saw the D. Cameron, says the text, in 1972 in Geneva as a 21-year-old, and it blew me away. Then I watched it 2 or 3 years ago in Dublin and blew me away again. The tale of the young man in the convent is priceless and spicy, even by today's standards. So I must get my hands on that. And loads of more texts coming in on the different things, which is lovely. Orla says, your guest, Yvonne, is talking about a lot that's hidden. I know exactly what she's talking about. As an older mum, I met a mum who was honest with me in a playground and it really helped me. And now I just say it like it is. That's the way forward. It's the best thing to do. Right, we'll take a little piece of music and we'll go... Oh, this is a pretty tune. From Elvis Presley. Yeah, we saw a rainbow today because it was so beautiful. Even driving to work at 7 o'clock this morning in glorious sunshine in Dublin. And then a rainbow appeared, and I thought, Dan, play the song. It's gorgeous. Swan Community Centre was my saviour, says the text. I was on the edge, close to giving up on life, when I discovered the Swan Centre. This is obviously not the shopping centre. It's this much more important community centre. 2 years after joining, I've completed my Level 5 Applied Social Studies Award with help from Swan. I'm now looking at doing my degree in Social Science in UCD next September. It is an absolutely amazing place. What a great result, and I'm so happy to be promoting such a place. Social prescribing is taking off around the country, says Roisin Ryder. The Dublin 8 social prescribing service is in its third year with cooperation from the local Rialto GPs and other healthcare staff. Lots of people enjoying activities in the F2 centre in Fatima, Rialto, for mental, physical and emotional health. Thank you for that. I was at a funeral in West Cork last night, and the way there was a box of disposal gloves on the way in, and everyone put on one glove, signed the sympathy book and shook hands with the family. At the exit, there was a box for used gloves. Gosh, that's one way of looking at it. RTÉ should show the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, the Irish version with Gay Byrne. At least we could learn some general knowledge and the kids would benefit from it too. Yeah, great idea. And lovely show in the morning. A while ago, you mentioned the game Wordscapes. It's a word game you can play on your phone. Got it on my Kindle, says Breda. I want to thank you for this, as I find it the most relaxing thing I've ever done. I love it. I'm still at it. It's a great way to spend, to while away if you're stuck in a waiting room or something really boring like that. Wordscapes is the game. I read a lot, but I find my mind wandering. But with Wordscapes, I find that I have to concentrate. And if it is like meditation, which is great. And I was in a hospital recently and visitors were not allowed, so I found Wordscapes a great distraction. So there you are. That's definitely one that comes with a glowing recommendation. Yeah, tough enough time for charities, and we'll talk about the Make-A-Wish Foundation on the Late Late Show on Friday. But I'm a big fan of the Daffodil Day event, which has been cancelled, and events around it for March 27th. So in the next few weeks, we'll keep you posted on the fact that you can donate €4 by texting the word cancer to 50300. If you feel this morning that you would normally buy a daffodil, or you'd like to support it, or you've had somebody in your family who've had some experience there, even not, with the Irish Cancer Society, text the word cancer to 50300. That's 5300 essentially. And that €4 immediately goes to them if you have it, and if it's in a position to do so and you have a little time, that would be very generous to do. And they're also saying that if you're a concerned patient or a family member, with all of this talk of the coronavirus, go to cancer.ie for details. Okay, thank you. You've been so busy with the text this morning. I really appreciate them. And we'll do it all again tomorrow between 9 and 10. Stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke. Have a great old day and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.